Our text for this morning is the epistle reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. I share with you again the first three verses. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, yet he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, we live in an information age. Partly because of media technology, our lives are flooded with more glaring information than we can even take in and know what to do with. You can get information on what your friends or your favorite star is doing every minute of the day. Almost any question you have, you can find an answer almost instantly. So, some are saying, well, if you can learn everything you need to know on the internet, why do we need schools and teachers anymore? Well, actually, there are plenty of reasons we need them more than ever. One is that not everything you'll learn out there is necessarily true. We have even more need for trusted guides to the truth. Another reason is that we need to learn not just information, but we need to learn what to do with the information. Having more information has not necessarily made us better people. Studies have shown that being successful in life comes not just from having intellectual intelligence, but also, in fact, especially from what's called emotional intelligence, which comes not just from reading books, but knowing how to read other people, and most especially from knowing ourselves and why we do the things we do. This is why we have Lutheran schools. And this is why today we are celebrating Lutheran Schools Week with the theme, Standing in Christ, Serving Others. As Christians, our reasons for what we do is not just knowledge, but it's love. And so our goal in Lutheran schools is not just to teach knowledge, but to teach love. As we look at our text, we see we do need more knowledge of God's truth. But there's something we need more, and that is serving others in love. And so we need more yet, God knowing and loving us. Let's think first about how we do need more knowledge of God's truth. Paul writes, if anyone imagines he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. However, not all possess this knowledge. You may have heard already the story about Albert Einstein. He was attending a college event, and one young student happens to meet him, has no clue who he is, and so asks him, well, what do you do? And Albert Einstein says, I think of myself as a student of physics. And the young student said, oh, physics, I finished that last semester. The more you know, the more you know you don't know. This doesn't mean, however, that we can never be sure of anything. Paul goes on to say, with certainty, we know there is no God but one. We know everything that exists comes from Him, and that all of us exist for Him. We know that Jesus Christ is this true God. One reason we invest a lot in what we teach is because, as Paul says, not all possess this knowledge. What you need to know about God is very simple. This Jesus lived and died for you so that you can be forgiven. But there's always more for us to learn about this. If we think we know everything there is to know, we have a lot to learn yet. And so we want to know, and we want to teach our children more and more about this true God and His creation and why we exist, and more about Jesus and what He has done for us. And not foolishly imagine that we know everything there is to know. Now, Paul is writing here to the Corinthians, whom he says, early in the letter, are very gifted. They have a lot of knowledge. They're smart people, but they still got problems. One problem they've got is connected to the fact that many of them used to worship idols. Idols were worshipped by offering them sacrifices of animals. And the meat that was sacrificed then was eaten as part of a communal meal in the temple, with the idea that those who were joining in the meal were joining in offering this sacrifice. The same kind of thing was true in Jewish worship, and it's similar to the unity in faith that we express when we join in Holy Communion, receiving the benefit of Jesus' sacrifice. But the meat from these meals that was left over was offered for sale in the marketplace, and I suppose the money went to support the temple. So, Christians who go to the marketplace might buy some of this meat, which may or may not be labeled as to its source. They probably didn't have laws like that back then. And so they would wonder, well, what if I buy and eat some meat that was used in this way? Am I then participating in idol worship if I eat it? Am I helping to sacrifice to an idol? Now, Paul says, we know that those gods don't really exist. And so we know that this meat is just plain meat. Nothing's really changed about it. And if Christians, however, eat meat that's been known to have been sacrificed to idols, new believers who may not be so sure about idols and meat and things like that might think, oh, well, I see this Christian leader doing that, so it must be okay for me. And they might in that way mentally be participating in worship of idols, thinking that that must be an okay thing to do. And so, Paul says, our knowledge may end up destroying the faith of a weaker believer. Well, I have thought, I can't think of any exact parallel to that kind of thing in our Christian faith today. But maybe it could be something like singing a song of praise that worships God, but in such general terms that even a Jew or a Muslim or a Hindu could theoretically say the same thing. We may know that the God we mean is the triune God, but a worship guest or a new believer might get the impression that it doesn't matter what your personal idea of God is. So, instead of singing songs like that, we're going to sing songs that are very specific about God and about what Jesus has done for us. When we worship, another example, we know that we never dare to come into God's presence except for the fact that we are forgiven by Jesus' grace. But we regularly begin our worship with confession and absolution, not because there's a rule that says we have to, but so that we don't leave the impression that we can worship God and be accepted by Him regardless of our sin. It helps us and others understand why we worship as we do, because of the true God that we worship. But, as our text shows us, we need more. We need serving others in love. Paul writes, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Paul's point to the Corinthian Christians is that we can know the right thing to do. But it's not just by knowing what we have a right to do or the freedom to do, but it's by doing what is loving and helpful toward others. That's how we know what's really right. In the ways of this world, the weak end up having to serve the strong because they have to. And this includes those who are smart and know a lot, who can get to tell the others who don't know so much what to do. But Paul says in the church, it's more like being in a family, where the big and strong take care of those who are weak and helpless. And where we're expected to put up with a stupid little brother because we know better. We may know that childish fears are silly. We may know that feelings of depression or despair are irrational. We may know that anxiety about the future is useless and foolish. We may know that grief over the loss of loved ones is short-sighted. We may know that belief in false gods is stupid. But to be insensitive to those who do feel this way is not helpful. It does not build them up. We want to teach our children to be intelligent. But if they get proud or arrogant, they've gotten the wrong idea. Just as important, or even more so, we want to teach them to be loving. How do we teach this? Well, this doesn't come just from a book. Our body language often speaks louder than words. It's taught by how we ourselves are, the compassion and the care that we show, not just to children, but also to everyone who makes foolish mistakes, and how we relate to those whose faith may be weak or even wrong, because we know our tendency to be weak or foolish. This is why we do things we shouldn't have to do. Anyone who goes to church should know that God is our Creator. He has made us male and female. He reveals the right way up for us to live in His Ten Commandments. Even if this is not taught in our school books, one can still go to a school that doesn't teach this and still get a good education there. But why give the impression that we accept these things when we can carefully teach the truth and teach God's love in our own school? This is not easy to do. It's not easy for us to know how to live in a way that builds others up. But as we teach our children to love, by loving and serving ourselves beyond what's required, we ourselves also learn God's love, learn to love from God's love for us. We need more, that is, God knowing and loving us. Paul writes, if anyone loves God, he is known by God. It's often true in the business world, and it's also true in church. It's not what you know, it's who you know. In fact, even more important is who knows you. In a business gathering, it can be valuable if you could walk up to one of the important people and know them by name. It would be worth even more if that important person walked up to you and called you by name. This is what the Lord of the universe does for us. This is what makes us valuable and important. It's not how much we know about God, although we do need to know who that true God is. It's not how loving we are, even though it is important to be loving, but it's how much God loves us. God knows everything, including our faults and our failures and our foolishness, and yet He loves us anyway. God, in His wisdom, knows how to help the ignorant. And so He has come Himself in person and revealed Himself as Jesus Christ, who carefully taught God's truth, who powerfully demonstrated God's great love, who was strong and yet bent Himself to help the weak. When He who created life itself died on the cross in our place, it's because of Him and who He is, who knows all of our sins and knows them even better than we do, because He gives us His forgiveness. So the one thing we need to know most is that we are known by God and we are loved by Him. This is why we do what we do. Unlike idol worshippers, we know better than to think that we are saved by things that we do in rituals. Our rituals instead are a way that God gives and strengthens our faith in what Jesus has done for us. We know that food is not what commends us to God, but He knows how to offer Himself to us using food. When we eat Holy Communion together, we are not participating in offering the sacrifice, but we are participating in receiving the sacrifice Jesus has given for us. God gives us His benefits in both words and deeds. This is why we teach our children with both words and deeds to stand firm in Christ, knowing as He knows us, and to serve others, loving as He has loved us. So we do need more knowledge of God's truth, so that everyone indeed does know that there is no God but one, who is our Creator and our Redeemer, Jesus. But we need more. Serving others in love. Not just proudly knowing what's right, but humbly using what we know to build others up. And so we need more. God knowing and loving us. This is why we are what we are. This is why we do what we do. This is why we are saved. Not any sacrifice or anything else we have done, but through faith in what He has done for us. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.